that old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak, as they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
Dad will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
There'll be times hard to control, and you'll find,
and you'll find,
you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
it will even up the score.
Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will
morning, and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. We are coming to you live this Saturday morning, October 3rd, 2015 now. I think it is 2015 now. Here from the Radio Ranch. Good morning, Jason.
Good morning.
And we've got a guest this morning. Josh, I think, came on the line. Good morning, Josh.
Good morning, sir.
Hey, there he is. Good morning. How are things way down south?
Well, normally you pick on me about the weather and how y'all have us trumped on weather, but I think today it's supposed to be sunny and a low of 51 and a high of about 77. So I don't think you're going to beat us on the weather today.
Well, that sounds beautiful right there. It does. Yeah, I know what you mean. It seems like the last several years that we have just had everybody beat on the weather. But it's, the thermometer says 39, but the windshield had frost on it this morning, I can tell you. And had a good rain yesterday and last night. But, yeah, that sounds pretty good, especially for down there, being that it's not going to be 89 or 95 degrees down there.
That's right.
So, well, good. Well, Josh, we sure appreciate you getting up and joining us this morning, and we thank you, Remnant, for joining us. And so, Josh, would you open us up in prayer, and then we'll go from there.
Lord Jesus, and thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you for your blood that was shed for us, Lord, to cover our multitude of sins, Lord, to give us that eternal life that comes only through you. Lord, we do realize that blood not only forgives us our sins, Lord, but it also cleanses us of any and all afflictions, Lord. Just pray that you grant us all the benefits of that blood, Lord, that you would apply it to each and every one of us, and and our families, Lord, and your remnant scattered throughout the land. Lord, we do put in place that prayer filter. We pray that you perfect our prayers. Lord, we put on that full armor of Ephesians 6. We pray that you bear our loins with truth and shod our feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. You put on that breastplate of righteousness. And it's the sword of the Spirit and shield of faith, Lord. Wrap us in that mantle of zeal and seal us off with the helmet of salvation. We pray that you protect us from any all attacks of Satan, Lord. And pray that you would lead us this day, Lord, that we'd be found to be in your will. Pray for this broadcast this morning, Lord, that you give us the thoughts that we should share with your remnant, Lord, that you give us the words to be able to convey it and the scripture to be able to back it up. Pray all these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, folks, we do welcome you to Coffee with the Wranglers. We have the phone lines open this morning, this October 3rd. 307-745-5913 is the number if you want to give us a call. Sure, lots going on. Seems like the perpetual war that we're in is certainly heating up, both domestically and foreignly. Foreignly, I don't know if that's a word, but I think it gets the point across anyway.
We'll allow it.
Yeah, I appreciate that. From Christians being targeted, not in Afghanistan, not in Syria, although they are targeted there, but here in the good old USA, right out in Oregon. And the college shooting out in Oregon this past week, to the increase on the so-called war on terror that's been going on now since 1991. And then slowed down a little bit, and then in 2001, certainly it fired back up, but... Jason, I think you had a couple comments. You wanted to talk about that Afghanistan airstrike.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, we got this. You know, we've seen this shooting, and first of all, I want to encourage people. Don't know the people, but I know the ones that were shot and killed died, and their last confession was that they were Christians. Now, at the same time, I don't understand and don't know, you know, what all that entails, but I know that they took a stand and that they, you know, confessed to being Christians before they were shot. So I want to encourage people to keep them in your prayers, keep families in your prayers, and, you know, lift them up. My heart goes out to them. You know, and I read the story about, you know, how this, you know, gunman goes in and he asks them, you know, what their religion are, and the Christian ones are the one that he shot. It really brought everything back home to, you know, this is, you know, it's a war, it's a battle, it's a fight. You know, and it's a really a sad deal, and there was a lot of lost loved ones, you know, there at that shooting. But you look at, you know, how this whole thing has taken place. It's everything that they've wanted for their gun control agenda. Everything that they wanted to stop things like this from happening. It doesn't work. You know, I mean, they our enemies, which, you know, we've got different, many different enemies, but, you know, we've got the enemy that went in and, you know, said that they outlawed the guns on schools. They said that if they outlaw guns on campuses, that's going to stop shootings on campuses. Well, you know, anybody with half a brain can figure that one out. You know, they went to unarmed security guards, they went to unarmed teachers, and made it where, you know, this is a mandatory, you know, no gun zone at a school. And, you know, everything that's happened here has happened under their so-called Gun Control Act and their Safe School Zone Act. And, you know, these things, everything was followed to a T. The point is, you know, you got to look at these things, and, you know, we don't know a whole lot about the situation, but I know that, like, you know, with Sandy Hook and with the Aurora, you know, Batman shooting, there was a lot more information that unfolded after the shootings took place, and you give it a couple of days and you start looking at the news and seeing what's happening. And you know, they really exposed themselves on who was behind everything back there. And you know, we don't know what the situation is with this one or what it's going to be. But every time that we have one of these shootings, it's you know, everybody wants to point their finger at the guns or the gun control. And you know, I don't think we've seen one yet in the United States where they haven't been on isotropic drugs, over-the-counter prescription drugs. And then that there hasn't been some sort of government involved to some degree. So we'll just we'll see how it unfolds, and hopefully we'll be able to get some more intel on it and you know, pass on what we find out here in the future.
Amen. Amen. Josh, did you get a chance to see some of that this week? What are your thoughts along those lines?
Well, I did, and I was reading this morning in 2 Timothy, you know, and reading chapter 3 that we've heard so many times, and it's just so applicable to everything that's going on in the news, you know, not just the shootings, but for the times that we are in. And, you know, there's only one protection, and that is the blood of Christ. And, you can have all the guns or the tanks or whatever, but if you're not abiding in Him, if He is not your refuge, if He's not your primary means of defense, you're not going to make it. And, we do serve a jealous God. You know, he wants us, and He wants all of us. And so we need to take it seriously. In the morning, when we pray on that armor and think about the protection that He affords us, and as Christians, and just keep in mind that the only way that we are entitled to that protection is by the fact that we are Christians, and that there's only one way to become a Christian, and that is through baptism, the correct baptism of Christ, you know, dying unto His death and coming up a new creature, you know, a new man, and striving to walk in his image. And that, you know, we need protection, but also we need to be sure to try to spread that as far as to never miss a chance to tell anybody about Him, you know, about true baptism, because there's not any one biblical principle that is more under fire than is the true baptism of Jesus Christ. I mean, there's just a remnant of a remnant of people that actually believe. And because the attacks are so strong, the deception is so thick, and the spells that have been cast on our people to separate them from the love of God. And that's where we're at right now, is the people, our people are separated from His power, from His protection, and I mean, just totally separated from Him because they do not abide in Him. I guess that's a kind of a long way around, but that's my thoughts on it. Is, you know, we don't know who sent the shooter, or if it's the government, or if it's this or that, but we do know whoever it is, they are our enemies.
Amen.
And we need protection from them, and there's only one way for us to have that protection.
Amen. I Josh, I agree wholeheartedly with you. There was a news report out that seems to be making the rounds. This the lieutenant governor in Tennessee, Ron Ramsey, he encouraged. He's talking about, you know, that, oh, well, Christians need a carry permit and you need to arm yourselves. And just one quote that he had that I saw in a report, he said, "Our enemies are armed. We must do likewise." And of course, that's in the physical. But it's true. You know, our enemies are. And I think so many people don't realize. I mean, they might see the, you know, in Acts when we read about, we battle not against flesh and blood, but against the spiritual forces of darkness in heavenly places. Well, there are times that those spiritual forces of darkness in heavenly places are made manifest in the physical. And
that's when you need your Glock.
That's when you need your physical protection. Right. The physical protection that you know, the Bible's full of a lot of things, and that's part of it. You know, when Jesus sent his disciples out the final time, you know, he instructed them, hey, if you don't have a sword, you sell your cloak and buy one. Because he understood that there were going to be times. He understood, yeah, they were to take the gospel to all creation. They were to take the gospel into all the world and to spread that. But he understood that there were going to be some out there that were not interested in hearing the gospel. There were going to be some out there that were like that, what is the parable of the sower, the first part that talks about how the word fell by the wayside. The people that don't want anything to do with the word of God. They don't want anything to do with the gospel. They are irredeemable, as the Bible says. They are creatures of instinct, created to be destroyed, as the Bible says. And Jesus knew that. And I think that's what he was getting across to his disciples then, is that, hey, you arm yourselves and you protect yourselves as you're out on being about my business. And that's what we are to do today. It's just cut and dry. There's no doubt about it.
Well, one thing,
yeah, you know, interesting about this story too. I mean, it brings a lot of points home. You know, they found a note after he had died. And I don't know what happened, if he killed himself or if he was shot by the police. His note read, and I guess they found it in two or three different places, that he would be welcomed in hell and embraced by the devil. And, you know, as I read that, it really brought home the point that, you know, the children of the devil are real, physical. You know, and we don't know if this is, you know, I mean, we've got to look at things as we see things like this taking place. You know, we've got to stop and ask ourselves, okay, is this some person demon possessed? Is this person a demon? Is this person a child of the devil?
Yes.
You know, we know that they exist because the scriptures tell us that they do. But it really brings those thoughts home, and it puts them in a physical realm where people tend to put them off in a spiritual realm, and they'll talk about them, but they'll talk about them like they never. It's like they're really not around. They're really not here. They really don't have to ever encounter them or not. And I think that, you know, you read a statement like that, you know, people, even Christians will explain it away. Well, he was a bad person, and he had emotional issues, and he was, you know, had family problems and mother issues or whatever. You know, I think he was telling the truth. I think that he will be in hell and will embrace the devil. And I think that, you know, I think that that's a pretty telling statement of what kind of person we're dealing with here.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, Jason, you and I were talking about target acquisition, you know, as far as knowing who your friends are and who your enemies are. And that's one thing that we're guilty of a lot of times, is when we see somebody, when we see a red flag come up, whether it be, well, this person's a liar, but he had this or that, or this person's a thief. Watch everybody. I mean, suspect everybody. And look at their fruits. That's how we know if a tree is by its fruits, whether it bears good fruits or not. And, you know, as far as target acquisition, how did this guy go about picking his targets? Well, he identified them. You know, he was going after Christians, and he asked them, and he had a positive ID on who they were, because that's the way our people are. We're not naturally liars. We're not naturally deceivers, you know. And they identified themselves as Christian, and therefore they became his target. And but the enemy does not afford us that same luxury. They are the tares that are scattered amongst the wheat. They look like us. They can even behave as us, and they try to make themselves as invisible to us as they can by hiding in the wide open, in the places that you would never suspect that they would be. And that's why it's so important to pray for eyes to be able to see. I pray daily that the Lord would show me who my friends are and who my enemies are, and let me know how to deal with each accordingly. Because I can tell you from experience, you don't want to just jump out there and take on somebody that you identify as being of the devil on your own without having Christ to fight the fight for you. And I'm not in any way putting off that we should never do anything physically. I mean, David's battle cry was the battle of the Lord as he was running towards Goliath. And, you know, I'm not in any way saying that we should not do our part, as you and I were talking about here a while back. You know, we've had a rash of burglaries in this area. And, actually had a lady get shot at, or, you know, they shot her vehicle, pretty close to the house, and I was praying for protection, and, we got a set of gates out at the end of the driveway that we never keep closed. And I've always been of the mindset that the Lord is that I pray for protection, and that he always has and always will protect us. And, he just spoke to me. I said, well, if you want me to protect you, how about starting by closing the gates?
There you go.
And locking your doors. We are to do our part, especially if it's something that he shows us to do. You know, it's not, prayer is not a cop-out to a lazy man to be able to just, oh, well, I prayed about it. And, you know, if he shows you to do something, you do it.
Amen. Amen. Well, folks, the phone lines are open, 307-745-5913. And if you have a comment or you have a question you want to ask or make a comment, their phone lines are open right now. And you mentioned, Josh, the 2 Timothy 3. And I flipped over there in my Bible, thought I'd read
right
that. Or go ahead, read that first part that you had mentioned, because... I think it's important that people hear that and are reminded of what the Word of God says about this.
But realize this, that in the last days difficult times will come. For men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding to a form of godliness, although they have denied his power. Avoid such men as these.
Amen.
From among them those who enter into the households and captivate weak women weighed down with sins, led on by various impulses, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Just as James and Jambres opposed Moses, so these men oppose the truth, men of depraved mind, rejected in regard to the faith. But they will not make further progress, for their folly will be obvious to all, just as James and Jambres' folly was also. Now you follow my teaching.
Sure.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, when you read that, there in verse 8, so these men also oppose the truth, men of depraved mind. Now, where have we read about depraved minds before? You know, that's kind of how you do a Bible study. When you see a word or a phrase or something, and you think, oh, wait a minute now, depraved mind, maybe we don't have a full understanding. We might not understand exactly what that is, but where else have we read the Bible describe depraved minds? Thoughts?
Well, my first thought is when you're talking about homosexuals.
Absolutely. And that's what the Bible ties
those
together.
That's one thing that can turn you over to a depraved mind.
Yes. Yes, it is. And we see that right here. All these things that Josh read there in 2 Timothy chapter 3 about the difficult times. And we see that all through it. And it says they oppose the truth, and for two generations they've worked on having prayer and the Bible out of schools, and now it's out of everywhere else. And what are we seeing taking its place? You know, books like Billy Has Two Daddies and Sue Has Two Mommies and the transgender bathrooms. And you know, this is happening. They're building a new school here in Laramie, a new high school. And, you know, Laramie's a pretty liberal town, being it's a university town. And it's going to be interesting to see if they have, and I wouldn't be surprised if they do. I'd be disgusted by it, but I wouldn't be surprised if they have transgender bathrooms. Because it's those of depraved mind that oppose the truth that, you know, are having their heyday right now. And we're seeing that in every aspect of our country, from city commissioners to the President of the United States to the so-called Supreme Court. I think they all fit in these categories right here. And then it says, rejected in regard to the faith. Rejected in regard to the faith. Now, when I first read that, I thought, you know, well, they reject the faith. But I think it's the other way around, guys. Correct me if I'm wrong. I think the faith rejects them. What do you think?
Well, I think it can go both ways. I mean, I think that Matthew 7, you know, makes a pretty good statement there. It, you know, starting with verse 17, it says, so every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor can a bad tree produce good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire, so then you will know them by their fruits. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father, who is in heaven, will enter. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. And I think that it's right there.
Amen. Absolutely it is. Absolutely it is.
Well, also in Romans, starting 1:18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which is known about God is evident within them, or as God has made it evident to them. And it goes on talking about how people have turned against God, and they were worshiping the creation, not the Creator. And verse 28, and just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a depraved man to do those things which are not proper. And so, as you said, Jason, it can go both ways. Some of that naturally, and some are given over to a depraved man because they are not seeking God and they don't care about His will. Being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, evil, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice. They are gossips,
slanderers, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, without understanding, untrustworthy, unloving, unmerciful. And although they know the ordinance of God, that those who practice such things are worthy of death, they not only do the same, but also give hearty approval to those who practice them.
Yep.
Yeah.
Boy, no,
that covers it.
You know, and I think that that's the times we're living in. You know, we've got to, you know, are these off of, you know, is their fruit good fruit? Are they a good tree or are they a bad tree? You know, that's what you got to ask yourself. You know, and we got to think more in those kingdom terms, you know, or biblical terms. You know, is this a tare or is this a wheat? Is this the son of the devil? You know, is this the son of God?
Amen.
You know, and it just seems like we can go on and on and on, and it seems like everything has just been, I think is what we're seeing is just the chaos. Chaos right now. I mean, you know, it's not just here, but, you know, all over the world right now. I mean, these airstrikes, you know, from Russia, you know, that's kind of a big deal over there. I hadn't even heard about it until I got a call from an Acres man that shared a little bit with me. I went looking for it, was able to find some stuff when I went looking. But the interesting thing about that whole deal is they're not getting given any news coverage that I've seen. I mean, it's there's very little talked about. But, you know, that's a, you know, basically, you know, it's on over there as far as between Russia and Syria, as far as a, you know, an out-and-out war. You know, they took off started bombing them. And it just, you would think that you'd hear a little bit more about that. You know, last night there was it was an Air Force strike from the U.S. supposedly to go after Afghan forces, but it mistakenly hit the hospital and blows the hospital up and kills 29 people. 30 of them are missing. You know, I mean, just talk about utter chaos.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. The wars and rumors of wars, that's exactly where we are, you know. The Bible talks about that in the last days. There'll be rumors and wars and rumors of wars, just like what Josh, what you read about in the last days from 2 Timothy. Guess what, folks? Sure seems like, according to what the Bible says, that these are certainly descriptive of the last days, these days that we are in.
Yeah, and I think that you know, it's important. I think in the first and foremost thing is, like me and Josh were talking, is, you know, like we talked earlier, you know, is a relationship with Christ. Is it being bought and paid for with the blood of Jesus Christ, having that water applied to your life, being baptized for the remission of sins in the name of Jesus Christ, you know? And, you know, I wonder, you wonder too when you see things like this happening, and I know me and Pastor used to talk a lot, and we would sit and ponder and say, you know, why, first of all, we'd ponder, why does this happen? You know, then especially when you see things that happen to Christians, and then you wonder, okay, well, are they really a Christian? And we talk about that, and we talk about, you know what, it'd be interesting to know how many of these things can happen to people that call themselves Christians but aren't Christians, you know, and can something like that happen to somebody that is living a Christian life, that is baptized for the remission of sins, that wears that brand of Jesus Christ, you know, and it's a question, I don't know, but it'd be interesting to know.
And, you know, it is something that touches us as a people with a love for our people. Whenever somebody says that they're a Christian and that they believe that they're a Christian wholeheartedly enough to lay down their life. But if they're not, if truly a Christian, I didn't make the rules. God did. But if they're not a Christian, if they have not contacted that saving blood, they're not. They may believe that they are, but they're believing a lie. They're believing a deception. And like I said, I don't make the rules, but it is what it is. And that's why it's so important that we share with people the one and only true way to be a Christian and to be able to have the protection. And Jason, I ponder the same things myself, and I think about, well, the numbers of people that are believers versus the number of true Christians, and the ones that are labeled as Christians that are being targeted, you know, are they really Christians or not? And I don't know the answer either.
Well, guys, phone lines are ringing, so let's get the buttons pushed, and we'll take a caller. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Hey, guys, this is George.
Hey, good morning, George.
Good morning. Hey, I just listened to you guys this morning. This whole deal that's going on, I really didn't even hear anything about it till Thursday night on your show, Richard. So I decided this morning to listen or to watch the news about it, and I haven't really seen anything about the killer himself, but have they given a picture of him yet or anything?
They have. He's a mixed race individual, 20 or 26 years old.
Okay.
They keep putting out that he had 13 guns. Oh, he had 13 weapons. You know, he had a few on him and some more at home, and like Jason said earlier, they're putting out a lot of his social media tweets and Twitters and website registrations and all that kind of stuff over the last 10 years that the guy's done, and he's he lists the religions in his little profile as pagan and occult or something along those lines. And so, you know, it doesn't benefit the media. It doesn't go along with their agenda when you have this half-breed, mulatto. His mother was black. His father was white. They were never married. So when you have this son of fornication, a generation later, do this kind of thing, that doesn't promote the media. If it would have been a white guy doing it, things along that, it would be a totally different story. You would know his name. You would see his picture because it would be blasted all over the media. But again, that's the captivity that we're in today. But that's what it was. This was a son of the devil, if not physically, certainly spiritually. As Jason read Matthew 7, by their fruits you shall know them.
Yeah,
this was a bad fruit.
Well, he'll be welcomed into Satan's arms, like Jason said, and he may be embraced, and he can burn there like he wanted to. Apparently, I don't understand that, but I was I turned to Matthew chapter 24, and victims of that, if you think about it, they basically gave their lives pronouncing Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior pretty much on their last breath. And in Matthew 24, it says, for nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall, verse 7, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places, and all these things are the beginning of sorrows. In verse 9 it says, then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And they shall be, and then shall many be offended, and they shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. This is the beginning of things to happen. You know, it's been going on for a long time, but it's going to get worse and worse. And for people like that to pronounce Jesus Christ in their last breath, that says a lot about them. A lot of people profess to be Christians, but when you got a gun pointed to your head and you're going to be dead if you say his name and pronounce and claim to be one of his, there's a lot of people that can just say and use the excuse and say, no, I'm not, just to be saved from a bullet.
Right. And you know, you know, George, you bring this up, and this is not the first time that this has happened on U.S. soil. Many people don't remember in 1999, Columbine High School, down in Columbine, Colorado, where we had the same thing happen. You had, I don't even want to mention the two demons' names that went in there, the demonic, and shot people up, and they did the exact thing. Are you Christian? They asked Rachel Scott, who was 18 years old and a student there, are you a Christian? And she said, yes, and they killed her. And she would not deny that. You know, this is not the first time this has happened. And so, you know, but our people don't, they don't remember these type of things. They don't see it. You're right.
It's a shame. And I, you know, whether, you know, they pronounce Jesus Christ to be their, you know, they claim to be a Christian, I should say, in their last breath. And that deserves to be acknowledged, I think. And there's a lot of people that should take this and think about it and look at themselves.
Yeah. It is.
What's that?
It's a sobering thought, ain't it?
It sure is. I mean, it's easy for us to look back and, you know, when we ain't got a gun pulled to our head and a bullet facing our temple, is to say we're Christians. But when it hits the fan, are you going to be prepared? Is the question. And you got to make your stand, draw your line in the sand, and decide what you're going to be. And you know, they were willing to go to the grave saying that they were Christians, and I think that's, you know, I just, it's a sad situation, and
I thought about, you know, the first guy, you know, to get up there confessing himself, you know, as a Christian and getting shot, you know, and then you think about the second guy and how much, you know, and I don't know if they were men or women or what order anybody was shot in, so, you know, take that with a grain of salt. But you think about the second one, you know, he and his friends, you know, just shot there, and then him, you know, saying, what religion are you? And then him shot, and then you go down the list. You know, I mean, you get down to that ninth person, eighth person, you know, he just saw, you know, seven of their friends, his or her friends, you know, shot for confessing to be a Christian, and what it was like for that person, and you know, what it took for them to confess that they were a Christian.
How many people would justify, you know, denying Christ in that situation and saying, well, God wouldn't want me to die anyway. I'll just deny him this one time and he understands. He wouldn't want me to die in this situation, you know. So, but they stood firm and they claimed to be a Christian in the end with that bullet face coming at them.
The word tells us
that
Jesus Christ himself tells us that if we confess him before men, he will confess us before his Father.
Amen.
And so, you know, whatever comes next.
I hope that situation never comes to me or my family, but if it ever does, I would hope that I'm able to make the same decision.
Right.
How
much better to confess him now without the gun, without the bullet, you know, when we have that, you know, that practice. You can bet your boots and throw in your spurs that wasn't the first time those people that were shot for being Christians had claimed to be a Christian. You know, there wasn't any, like you said, Jason, you know, think about that. You third, fourth person, you've just seen three people, and our people don't, they for the most part can't fathom that. You know, here's this person you studied with yesterday. Here's this grandmother that's taken a course. Here's this other, you know, are you a Christian? Yes. Bam! And it's, a gunfire is loud in a room. And blood and guts have splattered all over the place. And now the gun's pointed at you. Are you a Christian? Yes. Bam! And then, like you said, Jason, you're fifth, sixth, seventh, maybe the ninth person there. You've had a little time to think about this.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Those people, great was their faith is what comes to mind. And I don't think that was the first time they had professed being a Christian. You know, there wasn't, I don't know that that those that were shot were what they call those foxhole conversions. You know, it doesn't seem that way to me anyway.
No.
No.
And yeah, so, you know, let us confessing now. Let us remind those, you know, that, hey, listen, perilous times are here, but you stand on the rock. What's the worst? What is the absolute worst that man can do to us? You know, send us to
eternal life.
To eternal life with our Lord and Savior and our Heavenly Father. You know, now, not that we desire that.
I'd rather send him to his eternal life.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Absolutely.
And that's my problem.
Right.
Whenever you put this out there in a manner that, oh, well, we as Christians, we need to stand there in line and wait for our turn to press Christ. No.
Right.
You telling Yahweh Christians, you're trying to take that gun from him and kill him.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
There should have been somebody there in the school. I mean, I heard that there were two safety officers or something there, and they were probably unarmed.
Yeah, they were.
You know, it's like a neon sign in these places that are school-free zones, and it gives these sick people, you know, free reign to go in there and do what they want with plenty of time before somebody with a gun comes in and stops them, you know.
Right. And there were reports of, ex-military people there, an Iraqi war veteran that was going to school and barred the door and did all he could. And was shot five times. He didn't die, but he was shot five times. Broke one of his legs, and you know, in trying to stop this person with a gun. And you know, so there,
but
he wasn't armed.
Identified.
Right, right. No, I think he stopped, tried to bar the door, and was shot through the door, and then more times. But anyway. Yeah, we are to be armed. You have a responsibility, Christian father, to protect, to provide for your family. If you don't provide for your family, the Bible calls you worse than an infidel, worse than a non-believer. And you have a responsibility, Christian father, Christian husband, to provide for your family. And I certainly think part of that is to provide for their safety. And to prevent things like this.
That's a good point.
You know, you teach your children not to, you know, stick a knife into the electrical outlet. And we teach them that, you know, to judge people by their fruits, those type things. And part of it is you need to be able to defend your family and protect them from these sons of hell that are out there. You know, if you say, well, you know, I pay my taxes and the school's supposed to protect them, well, you're shunning your duty. You absolute shun your duty.
Well, you see how far that goes.
That's right. It does.
But anyway. So, all right. Well, man, thanks for giving me a minute to say what I had to say. You guys have a good day, and I'll continue listening.
Good talking to you, George.
Thanks, George.
Thank you.
All right.
See ya.
And the other phone line's ringing, too. Hey, good morning, caller. Thanks for holding. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Hey, Richard, this is Joe.
Good morning, Joe.
Oh, that's it's been been quite an interesting experience the last 9 years or so that I've lived up here in the hills of Pennsylvania. It's a little bit different than when I used to live in northern New Jersey. And the one thing that I've in 9 years I've noticed is interacting with youth. Up here, for the most part, they're all hunters. Nearly all of them are. No matter what they do in their, you know, scholarly life or whatever. And I'm talking about the teenagers, you know, not the children.
Sure.
Essentially is so hard for me to believe that now I'm 57 years old, how slow my reflexes are. Even driving down a road, I have to be extra careful because of deer. Deer are a real problem up here. It makes me think that these school children with their enhanced youthful reflexes and the ability to pick up on skills, what would it be like? How many milliseconds would it take for an armed teenager to blow somebody's head off that even tried to do something like this? Or maybe half a dozen of them. How long would the altercation take place? It would be done. It would be over in less than 1 second. What do you guys think?
Well, Joe, that would be effective. That would work. You know,
you could train a squadron of these young.
You look at the West Virginia, the West Virginia college shooting,
and nobody would know.
Yeah, well, you look at the West Virginia college shooting, Virginia Tech here a few years ago. I think Jason mentioned it earlier. The anti-gun nuts have exactly what they want. See, this happened exactly how the Antichrist wanted it to work. You know, gun-free zone, so that demonic individuals can come in and wreak havoc. And so the plan was successful. It was 100% success based on, you know, on what they want done with the education system. And then, yeah, picture that. You got one guy here with guns. So picture this. Let's say you had half a dozen of us standing there, unarmed, no physical arms as far as weapons or anything like that, no firearms, no pistols, no rifles, okay? And the guy's going down the lines, starting to shoot. And it's not like he's just spraying. He's monologuing. He's asking, are you this? Bam. By the time he shoots the first one, do you not think that we would all rush him? Yeah, he might take one or two of us out, but he ain't taking all of us. But that mentality is not in the schools. It's the sheep mentality. You do what you're told. It's the spell that our people are under. Even the Christians, they can still profess Christ and still be under that spell. And that's the double-mindedness. The pastor's... what's the pamphlet? A double-minded people. It goes into that and explains that the cognitive dissonance, that when the people hold two opposing views, and the many so-called Christians do this, when they hold those two opposing views, they are literally moved to inaction. And
you know, the chances of someone with a firearm, especially a handgun, under pressure from such a thing, you know, like an unarmed mass attack. It's so difficult to even seriously wound somebody when you're under that pressure.
Yep.
With a handgun, because the barrel is so short, and it's basically only really accurate out to about 10 feet.
Yeah. Well, Joe,
trajectory is way off if you're under attack, especially if you're backing up or running.
Well, yeah. It's more difficult if you don't have a handgun.
Yeah, it is. It is. Joe, thanks for the call. We're gonna try to get these other two callers on the line here. Got a couple more, and maybe we can get them in. Hey, good morning, caller. Have a quick minute here on Coffee with the Wranglers.
Good morning, Richard. Ralph.
Hey, good morning, Ralph.
You know, I'm not going to dismiss the importance of being armed in the physical, but we have to remember that part of our armor in that spiritual is, I'm amazed that no one looked at this demon and said, the name of Jesus, go.
Well, they didn't. I don't think they knew they had that power.
They
had that power.
And that's something that I think as Christians that we need to. I think I'm hitting my thing. Sorry, Jim. As Christians that we need to remind our children that, because we don't have a whole lot of choice in today's age about sending people into gun-free zones.
Yep.
And to look at that, when someone asks you, a Christian, if you're a gun, say, yes, I am. In the name of Jesus, you stop. And if this man's a demon, he will have no choice but to stop, because the word says so.
Yeah. Good point. Accurate point.
So But I'll let you go so you can get the other caller in. God bless, gentlemen.
God bless, Ralph. Thanks.
All right, bye-bye.
Guys, one more caller. Hey, good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Yeah, I just have a quick comment. That guy's name was Mercer. Mercer is a Jewish name, so that could explain why he was singling out Christians. And, of course, this will never be brought up in the mass media, but Mercer is a Jewish name. It's somebody who deals in fabrics, high-quality fabrics or silks and that sort of thing. You know, Jewish people were always involved in the garment trade, so Mercer's a Jewish name, so there's something for you to think about.
Well, he was
all
self.
Right, thanks a lot.
Thanks for the call. You know, he was a self-proclaimed pagan and follower of Satan, and so. But again, that's not going to get out there. Well, guys, we're about out of time. This hour's almost up. Any Josh? Any closing comments?
Just that it is. You know, we got to look at ourselves as fathers, as head of households, as you know, Christian leaders. It is our responsibility to keep our families covered, to pray to be able to see those enemies before they attack us.
Yes.
And that's the main thing, is you've got to know your target to be able to protect yourself. So.
Amen. Jason?
No, I agree, and I think that's one of the things. In order, you know, to take authority over a demon, you got to know what one is, and you got to understand that they're in the flesh. And I think that we're going into different, changing times, exciting times, perilous times. And you know, I you know, keep the faith, encourage people. You know, we've got hope, and you know, stay alert, and you know, stay alert to everything that's going on around you. But times are changing.
Amen. Amen. Hopefully you're reading your Bible, folks. Just finished up. We're in Matthew now. Just finished up. Wanted to finish out with one last verse here from Malachi 4. And he says, "But for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in its wings, and you will go forth and skip about like calves from the stall." And That is still available to us today for those who fear and revere his name, the way his word says. Well, folks, we do thank you for joining us this morning for Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. We encourage you and we invite you to come to church with us on Sunday morning at scripturesforamerica.org. And at 10 a.m. Mountain, 11 Central, and noon on the East Coast, join us. You can do that by just, again, going to your computer, going to the website, scripturesforamerica.org, and the time is 10 a.m. Mountain, 11 a.m. Central, and noon on the East Coast. We encourage you to do that. We do thank you for joining us this morning. Thank you, Josh. Thank you, Jason. Thank you, Remnant. We appreciate your support. This ministry is completely dependent on your support. Our address, if you want to write to us, is Scriptures for America, P.O. Box 766, La Porte, Colorado, 80535.
Rolling, 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 stay high.
This country stolen, keep on rolling over, snake high. Fast and free together, make them hells and forever, knowing the king is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off, move them out, head them off, snake high.
They're disapproving, keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides.
My heart's calculating, our king will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, move them out, head them off, snake high. Ride them out, ride them more, ride them more, ride them out, ride them out, ride them more,
snake high.
Moving, 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 though they're disapproving. Keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hide. My heart's calculating, our king will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, move them out, move them out.